Send a movie idea.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here at the Dream Factory are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where the manuscript will be printed and burnt and used to heat my home this winter. I don't think I'm going to be able to afford my bills, John. I'm Joel, a man who puts the gent in pungent, and across from me is John Harris, a man who has just been accepted onto Dragon's Den in the middle of the heatwave with his heatwave-busting paddling pool suit. Tell us all about it, John.
It does what it says on the tin. It's a heatwave-busting paddling pool suit. Enjoy. And then I get up
there. Is it true that up to 9 fish can live in it?
Give or take. Depends the size of the fish, Joel. You know, you've got to... But I'll get up there. I'll be all confident. I'll be all cocksure. And then it'll start leaking in front of the dragons.
Of course it'll leak.
And then...
Maiden will come over and say, I'm on the commute and I'm wearing my spikiest shoes. And then she'll just kick you.
And the thing is, look, most people have gone, but Peter Jones was interested until the leak happens.
He was. Because he's the sweatiest dragon.
Exactly. Famously.
Famously.
They wear... You see, between each person coming up to pitch, Peter's wearing a different suit because he has to change his entire outfit because he's sweating.
He's so sweaty. Yeah, and they never show him from the back because he's entirely exposed. He only wears half a suit on the front to let air get to his back and arse and the back of his legs. But he sat there basically fully nude.
And if you look at the floor below his chair, there's just towels everywhere.
It's completely covered in towels. They paint them like floorboards. Sure they do. This is a BBC production budget, but you can tell.
Yeah.
Final bit of Dragon's Den. I've probably mentioned this on the podcast before, but I served Duncan Bannatyne his first ever Jaeger bomb.
I mean, I've heard it before, but it always bears repeating.
I would bring it up every time Dragon's Den gets mentioned. And he loved it. And it was at a wedding. And at the end of the night, he tipped very well.
Ah, well, that's good. That's good to know. You didn't
because I'd got him absolutely blasted on Jaeger bomb.
And when he left, he didn't say, I'm out.
No, sadly not.
That's a real shame.
Sadly not. He must get that sort of joke all the time, mustn't he?
Big time. But that's fine. No. I can make that joke because I'm not talking to him. If I was, I probably wouldn't have done it because, yes, you're right. He probably hears that 12 times a day. Shall we film?
Hey, what about this film idea from Josh? Jurassic World Dominions. Humans have to team with the dinosaurs to take on their biggest foe yet, which I'm guessing is the Minions.
We've done Jurassic Park Dominion. We did it. I'm sure we've done Jurassic Park Dominion.
Oh,
it was one big old Minion.
What haven't we done? Oh, it was a big Minion.
Yeah. Do you not remember?
Oh, okay.
Wait.
No, I don't remember anything.
Josh has sent us like a million ideas though, right? We can move on to another Josh idea.
Yeah, we can move on to another Josh idea. How about this one from Josh? Hot tub grime machine. 4 blokes get in a hot tub, but after a crazy night of drinking, they wake up to find that they're now Dizzy Rascal, Wily, Skepta, and Lethal Bizzle. That's great.
I love it.
Well, because there's huge beef between some of those guys.
Oh, enormous, right? There's a stabbing.
And they wake up in and they're in a hot tub together.
Wow.
But they've got their brains. So the press are going to go wild for this.
Yeah, they'll think they've finally reconciled.
I think they've reconciled. And if I woke up as one of those 4, I think I'd put on like a Legends tour, right? I'd just sell out the O2 for 10 nights and then get back in the time machine and get hammered, but I'm now rich.
So you're like, yeah, I'm Dizzy Rascal. Yeah, I want to do like a greatest hits tour with all these guys. But I want all the money to go to a man called Joel Grove. Don't ask why.
You must back it to Joel Grove. No, I'd get the cash out and I'd bury the cash somewhere.
Fine. I know. Makes way more sense. And then Dizzy Rascal comes back and says, not only am I fuming that I've done this sellout tour, absolute sellout bullshit.
I'm now best mates with Wiley.
Oh, dear. What? Hot Tub Time Machine. They go back in time, but it's a hot tub. I've seen it, but I can't tell you much past that. Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I think what's funnier is if the grime refers to the level of dirt in the hot tub, and it will only travel in time when it's truly disgusting. Like, you have to be in it for days and days and days, and then suddenly it will reach the requisite level of grime and you'll just travel.
I like that. And also, like...
like, people are in it, they're weeing, they're just sweating into it, you know, it's just really gross. And then it goes. But you know, you don't know at what point it's going to do. It will just reach the right level of grime.
Because people are like trying to cheat it by like chucking soil in and stuff. But the hot tub knows that's not real grime. That's just fake grime.
Yeah, exactly. And there'll be like a hilarious thing where they go back in time and they'll leave to go and explore wherever they are for the day, and they'll get back and someone's jet washed it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your classic time travel caper.
No, but I think they have to clean it to travel back forward. Maybe that's the...
oh, that's good.
That's the sort of parameters of how this machine works. And they clean it too much.
I like it, John.
And they go back to like the 2300s. Yeah?
Shit. Nice.
What about...
I'm into that.
What about this one from B? Mr. and Mrs. Spliff, two rival drug dealers fall in love.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
But Mr. and Mrs. Smith, they're together, but they're trying to kill each other?
Yeah, you're right. It's the other, this is.
Is there a hit out on each other? So I think they neither of them knows the other is a drug dealer.
Oh.
And they've both got cover stories for what they do for a living, and then one of them ends up on the other one's turf selling drugs, and they find out about this dealer that's out there selling on their patch, and they don't know it's the person they live with.
And he goes by the name on the streets, Mr. Spliff, and she goes on the name by the streets, Mrs. Spliff.
Mrs. Spliff, yeah. But they never reveal this at home. At home, they both claim they've got jobs where they just work night shifts, and then word gets out that someone's selling on this guy's patch, and so he sends the boys out to go and find them and, you know, track them down, and it's like game of cat and mouse, but they always come home at night and cuddle up and have a lovely time.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
Actually quite a good idea.
I don't mind it at all. I think this one has legs, to be fair, Joel. Are they not into drugs themselves? They're not like hippie stoners. They're like pretend to be like office 9 to 5.
They're not getting high from a spike. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
They're serious drug dealers. Like, there was a drug dealer who used to operate near me, and he'd pull up occasionally and give you a business card. And he had two business cards, and one of them was just party supplies, but the other one, he'd called himself Dr. Party.
Is that
called Dr. Party?
Is he a medical Dr. Party, or is he?
He did 7 years. He did 7 years. At university to get that doctorate. Yeah, he can prescribe you a good time.
I don't doubt it. I like in London sometimes I see like drug dealers have got like Instagrams, and they like stick up like adverts for their Instagrams, and I think that is brazen as hell.
It's pretty bold, isn't it? Yeah.
Fair play to them.
Anyway, if anyone wants a Dr. Party business card, let me know.
Would you like one from Stu? Don't have a title.
Always.
But Terry Bollea, aka Hulk Hogan, and Terry Wogan in a body swap comedy.
Wow. It's more body swap. Who? Now, who would be better at the other one's job? Hulk Hogan as lovable, affable breakfast show host, or Terry Wogan, WWE wrestler?
I think it's Hogan, right?
You think Hogan's the better host than Wogan is the wrestler?
Hogan is a better host than Wogan is. I don't know, Joe.
But it's only their brains, right? So Wogan's got he's got body the physique of Hogan.
I know, I get that. But they, you know, a lot of wrestling is...
then he's definitely the better wrestler.
But a lot of wrestling is about pretending you're doing
physique.
A hitting.
Exactly. And he's got the body for it.
Yeah, but
Hogan has not
technique.
Got the brain to be the nation's greatest ever broadcaster.
Pretending to punch isn't punching. Like, that's a skill.
So is broadcasting to the nation, John.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to undermine the incredible work of Terry Wogan.
Would more people tune out of WWE or of the Radio 2 Breakfast Show?
I think Wogan can pretend he's got an injury. And...
clever.
So, you know, he's still doing WWE stuff. He can do the aggressive stuff to camera, but he's got a cast on, so he's like, I can't wrestle right now.
And he would be his delivery would change, but he'd be very charismatic.
100%.
We are actually forgetting here that Terry Wogan has a real aptitude for sport.
Are we?
Terry Wogan held the world record, this is going to blow your mind, for the longest televised golf putt for about 40 years. He did it as like a charity. He was doing like a charity match that was on TV. And you should watch the clip. He makes this putt from like 100 feet. And it was never beaten on TV by like all of the actual golf tournaments that were broadcast on TV. No one made a putt that was longer than that putt until quite recently.
That is incredible.
Yeah. So, you know, don't rule him out.
One thing I will say, I don't want to undermine either of the sports, but I would say the skills required for both things don't have any overlap. I don't think many people are bringing their golf skills.
I'm just saying the hand-eye coordination is sensational.
Yeah. Do you think Wogan could have made a good wrestler in his day? Do you think he'd have to be a baby face, a hero, right? He couldn't be a baddie.
Of course.
Not a heel.
He's too lovable.
I think Wogan could have really brought on the crowd, got the masses going at WWE. I rate it. Right.
I think so too.
What about this one from me?
From
you? Not from you, Joel. We're way too early in the episode for you to swoop in.
Sorry. I meant me to pitch the idea on somebody's behalf. What about this one from me via Alex? No, from Alex via me. Alex isn't about to walk in the room and do my one. Belfast, Belfurious.
We love it.
I guess it's just Fast and Furious, but it's in Northern Ireland. Very scenic. Lots of quite scary country lanes.
Well, this is the thing. They've done London, right? But I think it was like geographically incredibly inaccurate because of the fact that London isn't a fun place to drive fast around.
No.
So,
but here's what I think it is, John. Look, Northern Ireland has become a hotbed for filming because it's absolutely stunning. And I think tax breaks. Mm. So Star Wars film a lot of stuff there. Famously, get loads of Game of Thrones is filmed there. They're running out of places to take Fast and Furious. So they go fantasy.
Oh, that's not bad.
And maybe it's carts, horse and carts and stuff like that. They do a fantasy Fast and Furious. Like, that's where this is going to end up because they keep sort of edging into the future. That's going to get boring at some point. They're going to have to take it right back.
Well, and also Vin Diesel is famously like a big D&D nerd. So he'd be all over this. He'd love that.
It's perfect. Maybe they're on the back of dragons or something to make it more exciting, but that's the vibe.
I love the idea of like sort of doing donuts with a dragon. Drag racing. Dragon racing.
Dragon racing. Holy shit. Belfast, Belfurious, colon, Dragon racing. Their biggest hit yet.
I'm all over it. There's a bit of a fantasy resurgence happening right now with Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings and Sandman. So I could see it happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, get it.
I'm into it. John, hit me with one.
What about this one from Martin? The Mog. Some square-jawed action hero takes on a massive cat.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
How big's the cat? When you imagine that, how big was the cat?
Like gorilla? Well, gorilla would be big enough. But I was thinking more Godzilla. King
Kong. Yeah, Godzilla-sized cat.
The interesting thing about cat...
Well, it sleeps 16 hours a day, right?
Yeah.
So it makes it quite easy to take down.
But also, like, its sort of attitude towards chaos is quite... Cats are quite apathetic a lot of the time. So they do damage, not really because they're sort of attacking, just because they're like... There's like an evil streak in them where they're like, I wonder what happens if I knock this off here. So it'd be just pushing a bus off a bridge, but like... You know, it's not going around stomping everything down. It's sort of...
Its heart's not in it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. To bring it down, they have to get the finest minds on planet Earth together to create the biggest ball of wool...
There we go.
...we've ever seen.
I know it's really not...
It's a ball of wool that thought inconceivable to humankind until now. We need the finest minds from around the planet to come together to figure out how we make a ball of wool big enough to take down this cat, to distract this cat.
I love that scene. I love the idea of that scene of the sort of the maverick scientist. So all the scientists are doing rockets trying to take it down, and this and he's right, and he's like, how do you take down a massive cat? And then maybe he just sees a bit of fluff.
He's got a pet cat, right? He's got a pet cat. That's the thing. That's always the way. It's the same in the Meg. The guy's got a pet shark.
What's the what's the cat drug? Catnip. They make the world's biggest catnip wool and ball.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Now, I know it's not important to the plot, but I just need to sort of drill down on, like, the Meg is a megalodon, so it's a prehistoric shark. Mm-hmm. Is it a house cat that's been, you know, gamma radiation big, or is it a prehistoric cat?
In my mind, it's an absolutely enormous house cat.
Fine. I like it.
The visuals on that are just so much better.
Yeah. Some sort of enormous saber-tooth vibe. I'm just like, yeah, we get it. A big black and white cat.
That's too scary.
A big black and white cat, like Postman Pat's cat.
It's just such a cute way to die. being slapped by a giant cat.
I love it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What about this one from Lizzie? Max Clifford, the big red dog. I don't know anything that's going on there, Joel. Have you got? Can you help me on this one?
Max Clifford is that famous, awful, awful, awful PR guy. There was a Louis Theroux documentary with him where he put stories in the press. And then he put stories in the press about Louis Theroux because he didn't like the way that Louis was making the documentary. He's bad news.
Okay.
Clifford is a big red dog. So it's like a big red dog that's doing PR, and I guess because it's a big scary red dog, it can really threaten journalists to write whatever it wants.
I mean, the worst part of this...
But it's just so weird that your PR person would be a great big red dog, because the red dog's the famous thing. Why does this red dog insist on being sort of behind the camera, working in public relations? Or does it take down the giant cat?
Well, that's the thing I just realised. But then you're making Max Clifford the hero, and it sounds like we don't want to be doing that.
That's wrong.
I do like the idea that you see this celebrity who's getting this like mad PR, and you think, what's happening? What's happening behind the scenes there? And you look at a bunch of photos, and there's just a fucking enormous dog in the background. You think, oh, it's a Max Clifford the big red dog job. Got it.
Once again, that's brilliant.
Hiding in the shadows.
I'm all over that. John, it's time, I think.
For part two.
For part two of Muscles Tom.
All right. Bear with me. For anyone who doesn't remember from last week, man called Peter inherits a mansion. He goes to the town where the mansion is. They say it's bad news. That's effectively what's happened so far, but much more wonderfully told by Muscles Tom, of course.
Always.
He continues his journey, persevering through the black of the night. He soon arrives at the old manor estate. He gets out of his car and looks up at the enormous size of the building. It must be centuries old. A wolf can be heard howling from the hills as a streak of lightning flashes and a roar of thunder sounds. He quickly grabs his things from the car and heads inside. Hello? He shouts as he enters. Obviously, he's not expecting a reply, as there should be no one else in the house. He could have sworn he heard the words, "Leave this place," whispered from the walls. But it's a stormy night and he decides it must have just been the wind. He remembers there's no electric in this house, so he lights up a candle and holds it up. As he walks through the house, he can't shake the feeling that there is an evil presence lurking. He walks into the kitchen and decides to make a cup of tea. He sets the can... How? You shouldn't be making tea at that time of evening, Peter.
Well, you don't know what sort of tea it is.
True. Chamomile?
I've got a lovely sleepy brew. Oh. That'd be ideal for that time of day.
He sets the candle down and lights the gas stove and puts on a pan of water. A shadow suddenly rushes past the window. What the heck was that? He jumps, but soon relaxes when he realizes it must have been the wind. He's blaming a lot on the wind this evening. Maybe that's a twist. The wind is the villain.
Oh my God.
The pan starts to boil, but as he goes over to turn the hob off, he looks down and his eyes are full of fright. The water in the pan has turned into a pool of blood. Jesus, what is going on? He says with a chill colder than an ice cream spreading down his spine. He looks over to the kitchen ledge and he sees a fruit bowl full of apples. He goes over to take one, but as he picks it up, he notices a bite has been taken from it. He drops the apple on the floor. That's impossible. There's no one else in this house, he panics. No use working myself up over it. Time for a bath. He's no one else is in this house, but he doesn't give a shit about the fact that the bowl was full of apples in the first place. The fact there's a bite taken out is weird, but the bath
is a natural reaction to this situation.
He wanders up the stairs and into the bathroom, and he begins to fill the bath. He looks in the mirror and his eyes suddenly turn to shock as he sees an old woman staring back at him. He rubs his eyes and he looks again. She's gone. I must be tired, he thinks. I better have this bath and relax. But no sooner than he takes off his clothes does he realise there is someone in the bathtub. Someone not of this world.
Whoa.
A wrinkled hand reaches out from the bath and slowly the body of an old woman raises up. Her head turns to Peter and as she opens her mouth, maggots come falling out. He runs out of the bathroom screaming and slams the door. It's been a long day, he thinks. The stresses of the day have got to me. I better just go to bed. This man is unflappable.
Well, I guess if you completely don't believe in the supernatural,
I guess
he's probably just explaining it all out.
He slowly creeps along to the landing room. The candle he's holding slowly blows out. The door of his bedroom slowly creeps open all on its own. He suddenly has the fright of his life when the candle suddenly flames up again. As the candle begins to illuminate the room, he can't believe his eyes. He sees an old woman hanging from the ceiling. Ah! No. He cries as he slams the door shut and begins to find another bedroom to sleep in. Must have been in use, that one, I guess. As he's going along the hallway, he stumbles into an old telephone. I better use this phone for help, he says. Just then, his skeleton nearly jumps out of his skin as the phone starts ringing. He reaches down with his hand shaking like the foot of a tap dancer. He lifts up the receiver and puts it close to his ear. He hears the words, die, 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 screamed into his ear. He drops the phone in fright and he runs down the hallway screaming in fear. As he's running, a hand suddenly comes out of the floorboard and trips him up. He flies forward and smashes into a window. He falls through the air screaming and lands on a spiked fence surrounding the house. The spike pierces through both of his eyes. As the blood pours out from his sockets, his lifeless body hangs impaled from the fence. He is dead.
Oh, God.
The next day, detective and a doctor are standing outside the house. The body of Peter is seen zipped up into a body bag and taken away. What do you think happened? Asked the detectives. My guess is he went insane, answers the doctor. The house was too big for him. Too much upkeeping for one man to handle. That combined with the no electricity...
He was only there 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, this is poor detective work, I'd say. Oh, no, the doctor says that. Poor doctoring. Mm. That combined with no electric and the storm outside, he almost certainly made him lose his sanity. Couldn't handle the pressures of taking such a big house, the detective concerns, so he threw himself out the window. Makes sense. The locals said he looked a bit crazy as soon as he arrived, the doctor adds. It seemed they were right. Police officers and medics were walking past as the ambulance siren fire up and it drives away. Local press are taking pictures as it goes, and flashing cars follow. The camera pans up to reveal the face of the door for the first time. It is the lady from the pub! She smiles at the camera and raises her hands as she bites into an apple. The end.
Oh, get in. What a twist.
Muscles Tom. That was
Muscles Tom's back, baby.
That was just a horror story. There was no weird furniture.
Yeah.
There was no mad action.
No. Yeah. That was really good.
Well done, Tom. You've really developed as a writer. Thank you very much for that.
That was great stuff.
Wonderful foray.
I don't know how we follow that, John, but would you like our ideas?
Yes, please.
Here's mine ideas. Rian Brewster's Millions. You know the film Brewster's Millions?
Yes.
There's a weird inheritance thing where he has to spend a load of money but can make no gain for himself in order to earn a huge inheritance.
Yes.
Like he has to spend $1 million but can recoup nothing from it and then he'll inherit, you know, tens of millions. Rian Brewster is a football player that plays for Sheffield United. He has to spend all of his wages in the club shop, but can't have a single item.
Oh, that's... Can he just hand it out to
people? That's my stupid film. No.
Oh. How does he do it? Have you got an answer?
No, I haven't, John. I haven't really thought about that. It's impossible. What's your idea?
Sandalman. After a radioactive incident with beach footwear, John Sandal becomes Sandalman.
What sort of powers is Sandalman offering?
Good at kicking.
No.
Oh.
It's hard to kick in a sandal. Fine. It'll fly off.
He can walk on quite hot surfaces.
He can, but if the hot surface is sand, it will flick up into the shoe. Actually, not an ideal shoe for walking on sand, the sandal. I don't really know what benefit... Here's a question, John, and you're going to be so delighted that I've asked this. So a horse has a shoe permanently attached to its foot.
Yeah.
If you had to pick one shoe... to have permanently attached to your foot like that, what would you go for?
It'd just be like an Adidas trainer, surely.
Yeah, that's the obvious answer. It's so boring though, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry, mate.
But then you get invited to a funeral the next day.
Black plastic bags over my feet.
You, John, have got an answer for everything. How about an answer for this? What was the best film this week?
I liked Mr. and Mrs. Spliff. I thought, great title.
Me too. I thought that was genuinely excellent. That's the winner. Anyway, we've got to nip off this soon because, weirdly, I don't know where they came from, but I've had a delivery of apples, so I'm going to go and eat a couple of those. Well done, John.
Well done, Joe. Lovely stuff.
Was good fun.
Should we tell them the secret? We're recording this.
I had my bum out the entire time. Oh.
That's not... You do that every week. That's not different.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't let you see it the other times.
We batch recorded the last two episodes, so...
We did. We recorded them batch to batch.
If we sounded more tired as time was going on, that's because we were more tired as time was going on.
And if I sounded more hungry... It's because I'm hungry.
Have you got anything planned for dinner tonight on the 10th of August?
I've got lots of leftovers.
That'll do, right?
It's gonna be. I'm excited for it. They're delicious. They're leftovers from delicious dinners that I made.
Exactly.
So
it's like Christmas. It's like Boxing Day. I'd argue one of the best meals of Christmas time is the leftovers.
Oh, 100%. I adore it. I'm excited. I'm going to go and eat it. John, what are you having for dinner before we go?
I had dinner, mate. I've got a baby, so we had dinner at 5 o'clock. All together.
What? You all ate baby food?
Yeah. Mushy
from
mushy
a big
carrot.
Communal jar.
From a big old fish bowl, which is a reference to the last episode.
Real fish bowl.
I had sriracha chicken and a black bean salad.
Oh, well done.
Thank you.
Healthy boy. And you went for a swim this morning.
I did go for a swim this morning.
Picture of health.
Thank you very much, Joe. Stay healthy, listener, and stay happy. And we will see you this time next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.